Hello, everybody. It's Sam from the Financial Samurai podcast, and today's episode is about the permission to be vulnerable, and more specifically, how society doesn't allow men to open up, which negatively affects women. So what does it mean to be a man? Well, I grew up thinking I wasn't allowed to cry. I wasn't allowed to share my feelings. I wasn't allowed to write or paint or dance. I wasn't allowed to do a lot of things. But I was also taught to be respectful, to stand aside and allow women to get out of the elevator first, to open the door, to do some research on what happens when there's a revolving door. Am I supposed to go first and push so she doesn't have to push? Or am I supposed to wait until she goes first and I push behind her? All these things, kind of funny, isn't it? But those are my thoughts, basic thoughts on what it is to be a man in society. Oh, another thing, to be able to make a lot of money to take care of a family, no matter whether your wife or spouse or partner could provide as well. So these are the pressures that boys face when they grow up and men face as they face right now. And I don't know if that's really healthy for the man-woman dynamic. And I don't want men and women to be separate. I don't want there to be opposition, a team, one versus another. I want it to be a spectrum that we're both on and where we get closer and closer together. So let me tell you a story about when I was in high school that kind of rocked how I thought about equality between men and women. So I had a good friend in junior year who joined this organization called NOW. It was the National Organization of Women. And she said it was an amazing organization where women got together and talked about women's issues, talked about getting into college, talked about boys, whatever. And it was fun. So I asked her, "Can I join?" And she says, "No, you're not a woman." And I said, "Come on, really?" And she said, "Sorry, you're not allowed to join." And at this time period, I was kind of freaking out because I had college to look forward to. And I wasn't a great student. I screwed up freshman year because I goofed off a lot and I was just hanging out with my troublemaking friends. But it was sophomore, junior, and senior year where I really started focusing because I knew that I needed to get to a good college to get a good job, hopefully, to, you know, take care of myself and take care of my family and my parents one day. So like I normally do, if you tell me no, I'm going to figure some way out. So I said, you know what? Forget about now. Forget about the now. I'm going to start my own organization for men. And that organization was called MOM. M-O-M, the Men of McLean. It was specifically the Men of McLean High School. And gosh, I got to tell you, I got so much flack from now that, I don't know, they thought I was making fun of them, or they thought I was just attacking women. But I was not. I was just starting my own club, and it so happened to be an acronym of MOM. That's not my fault. It's Men of McLean, M-O-M. So we did some fun stuff. We got together after school. We talked about men things like sports, like girls, like getting into college, all that good stuff. And during this time period, you know, one of the big things that I wanted to do was develop leadership positions, because that's what all our counselors talked about. For getting to college, you need leadership positions. Sam, what's your leadership position? And I said, well, I'm a tennis team captain. Isn't that good enough? And they said, no, you must be tennis team captain and you must have a leadership position in academics or some kind of other organization. And I said, well, I am now the president of MOM. How do you like that? And the good thing was that 60 or 70 members actually all joined, and they were also co-presidents. So suddenly we had a lot of presidents in town. I thought that was a smart move. And yes, maybe we were a little bit obnoxious. men get kind of obnoxious. I wasn't that an obnoxious guy. I was kind of strategically thinking about my future. But we did have a rite of passage to get into mom. And that was, you had to chant, "Men of McLean, Men of McLean," 2 laps around the inner courtyard of school, and with your shirt off. And then if you did that, you're in, buddy, or whoever, you're in. And I don't think they liked that. But I thought it was fun. Come on, it was a meritocracy. Anybody could get into mom if they just did that chant. Whereas nobody could get into now, well, no man could get into now, period. So I thought we had a better mousetrap to allow for anybody to join our organization and to experience that kind of camaraderie. But about a month later, I started getting signs that death was imminent. One of the administrators, who so happened to be my tennis coach, said, "I don't think this is going to fly." And I said, "Why not?" And he said, "Well, the organization thinks you're a threat to society." "What do you mean we're a threat to society? We're the men of McLean." And several weeks later, we got the hammer. We got an administration notice, or administrative notice, saying mom is no longer allowed to exist. And that was the point where I thought, how could they allow mom to die and let now live? Why were we so different from the women? If they asked us, "Look, you know, your initiation thing, that's just ridiculous. Cut it out. How about like write an essay to get in or something?" If they asked us to tone it down, we would have toned it down, but they did not. If they asked us to keep our voices down, even though there was nobody to disturb, given it was 4 p.m. and after class, we would have been more respectful. But they did not. Instead, all they did was send us a notice saying, "You guys are shut down. You guys don't have the right to congregate." And that's when I thought to myself, well, what happened to equality here? Does this mean, as a male in society, okay, one, we're not allowed to express our feelings, but two, we're not allowed to create this group, and are we always going to have to fight for our rights? I guess so. I guess things are kind of not very balanced. So since that day, almost 20 years ago, 19 years ago, I've been thinking to myself and being very cognizant of issues. And it's interesting, there are no real kind of support groups for men. Or you know what, there are, but I just don't really notice them. There is no women's dinner function, men's dinner function, all that stuff. And I think that's fine. And I think women will say, "Well, it's because you guys are the oppressors." And that's so sad. Because men, at least the men that I know, all want the same thing. And they all want equality. We all have mothers. Some of us have sisters. And some of us even have daughters. Why would we ever want inequality? I wrote a post called "The Gender Wage Gap and the Solution to Income Inequality." And that solution, if you haven't read the post, is to simply allow for equal parental leave between men and women. And think about it, if you were CEO of a startup and you were losing money every single day and you had a deadline to produce a product or else you'd go bankrupt and your dreams are over. There are two candidates. One is a man, one is a woman, both in childbearing years. They're in relationships, no children yet. But both of them had parental leave. So you were absolutely blind to who was most at risk of flight during your time of need. Maybe the mandatory minimum was 2 weeks and up to 3 months. Whatever the case may be, we have equal parental leave periods for men and women. And I thought that was an absolute smart idea, because I'm a small business owner, I've worked for big business, and now I consult at a startup. And I've talked to a couple CEOs, and they said, that is a great idea. Let's figure out how to implement that. But yet, if you look at the comments in the post from some women, they say, that's ridiculous. That's ludicrous. What are you talking about? And I'm thinking, come on, this is a great idea. And they said, look, women are the ones who have to go through that morning sickness. Women are the ones who have to feel that pain for 9-10 months. Women are the ones who go through things you don't even want to know about. And as a man, I think absolutely you are correct. You are correct. And thank you for being able to have that gift to raise a child, to give birth to a child, because men, we would just pass out and die and faint. But it's all about allowing men to have that time off to take care of the woman, to take care of the child. Men feel useless, I think, during this time period. We can't breastfeed. We can't do anything. But all we want to do is try to help. It's like when I tell my friends about some stock and it loses them money, I want to just jump off a bridge. I feel so, so horrible. But if I lose all the money myself, I don't really care. It's just that if friends and family are affected, I feel so, so bad. And the point is that if you can help the man, you help the woman. It's a team effort, is it not? It takes two to have a baby. I think, right? I think it's much better that way. So I hope that more women can see this parental leave idea as something that would engender more harmony between the both of us, or for the both of them. So it's as long as we don't allow this to happen, there's going to be this dissension, this he versus she kind of mentality. And I don't want that. I don't think anybody wants that. We want to be on the same kind of spectrum here. So what are the problems that may occur if men aren't allowed to express themselves? Well, the number one thing is you can't be true to who you are. If you wanted to dance, paint, write, you might get some flack growing up as a kid in America. I didn't tell anybody I liked to write. I remember like really enjoying history class, and I was made fun of when I got that award for, you know, AP History Student of the Year or whatever. So I kind of pushed that history book aside, and I've never read that history book that I was awarded 20 years ago. That's a problem. You can't pursue your passions, whatever they may be, if society is telling you you can't do this or that. I think being unable to express yourself creates anxiety, and it might create depression. It negatively affects your work environment and your family relationships as well. I think a lot of people don't really like their jobs, right? Something like 68% of people are disinterested, disconnected from their work based on some random new latest survey. I believe that. I've talked to a lot of people and they say, actually, if you don't like, or if you don't hate your job, you're lucky. That's pretty scary. So let's say you don't like your job and you're all bottled up inside because you can't be who you truly are. How's that going to affect your performance? It's going to negatively affect your performance. How's that going to affect your money-making abilities? It's going to negatively affect your money-making abilities. And when you're not making money and you're not getting promoted, you're pissed off. And when you're pissed off, you come home and you take it out on anybody else who can listen. And if you happen to be with someone that you care about, I feel so bad for that person because you're naturally going to take it out on him or her. So relationships. Definitely not good. And money. You're not going to maximize the amount of money you're going to make. And the bottom line is, on being unable to express yourself suppresses happiness. You know, we talk a lot about money on financialsamurai.com as a personal finance blog. But the end goal is to just be happy. And there's a lot of happiness in being who you are. There's a lot of happiness in having fantastic relationships and friends you can count on. And there's a lot of happiness about seeing progress in your career. I remember one time, this was between high school and college, I went on this program called The Love Boat. It was nicknamed the Love Bud, but basically it was a study abroad exchange program for Chinese Americans abroad to come to Taiwan and learn about the Taiwanese culture, learn some Mandarin, calligraphy, history, and see the island. It's a fantastic program. Definitely advise you to do it if you can get it. And I was 18 at the time, excited to see the world, and I had a great time. And I met this girl. She was a little bit younger, and she was amazing. She was beautiful. And I was scared to talk to her, but for some reason she talked to me, and we went clubbing one day, and we're sitting outside the club, and we're just having a long chat. And I looked at her quite intently, and I told her, "You are so beautiful. But I feel so insecure talking to you and being with you because there's so many guys around, and I think you're out of my league." And as soon as I told her these thoughts and feelings that I had, she jumped me. She began kissing me. And it was amazing. I had no idea. Like, I was scared out of my mind as a kid. And so that's another benefit too. Being able to open up your feelings, sharing your thoughts, allows other people not only to empathize and appreciate, but to share their thoughts as well. So one of the best ways to build relationships, whether it's a passionate relationship or a business relationship or whatever, is to open up, because people will really, really appreciate it. I look, you know, at my archives on Financial Samurai, there's about 1,000 posts now, and a lot of them are quite chunky, right? 1,500 words, 2,000 words. You know, the average comment count might be around 50. But the ones that really stand out, that just have an explosion of comments, are the ones where I open up and share my thoughts. For example, I wrote this post called "My Fear of Becoming a Father." It was only like 500 words, but I was going through this thought process where I really feared becoming a father, specifically to a daughter, a teenage daughter, because I could imagine myself one day coming home from work and hearing my daughter crying in her bedroom. And I would go to her bedroom, knock on the door, and she'd tell me to go away. And I would persist on saying, "What's wrong? What's wrong, dear? How can I help you?" And then she'd finally hopefully open up and say that her boyfriend dumped her. That her boyfriend dumped her for some other girl who was, I don't know, prettier, more attractive, I don't know. And I would think, "I'm going to kick that guy's ass. Who is that guy? I'm going to kick his ass for you." And she would say, "Leave me alone, Dad. There's nothing you can do to help me." And I would feel so helpless that I didn't know what to do. And that's when I started fearing being a father. Because as a guy, I don't know. I mean, I hope during that time I have a spouse or a wife or a girlfriend to be able to talk to her. And if you look at the comments, they just went out of control. It was a 500-word post. So it was an example where the more you can express yourself, the more you can let people in, the more you can gain some trust, empathy, and a better relationship. If you're feeling trapped because you're unable to express yourself, I have 3 tips for you. The first tip is to talk to a woman, be it your mother, your sister, relative, or friend. Think about all those times where you see women going out, maybe one-on-one, a lot of times one-on-one, just chatting, talking, laughing, crying. And then think about all the times you see 2 men going out at once. It's kind of a rare sight. It's because women are very adept at sharing their feelings, sharing what's wrong with them, having a shoulder to cry on, or just discussing life. Guys kind of don't do that. We go out in a bunch and go for a hunt. We go to the bar, we drink beer, and we say, "Hey, who's going to talk to that girl?" We go and dare them, "Hey, I'll give you $5 if you say hi." or something like that. We just kind of have this wall that it's hard to overcome. So talk to a woman, any woman. They're going to be infinitely better a lot of times than talking to some guy. It's sad, but hopefully through this discussion, you can also talk to your good buddies as well. 2, talk to your doctor. He or she doesn't have to be a psychologist or psychiatrist because that costs something like $250 or more an hour. Talk to your general practitioner. You know, the guy or the girl who sees you for your annual checkup. Oh, how's your leg, Johnny? Oh, it sucks, but hey, doc, have you ever had a friend backstab you? How'd you deal with that situation? Or maybe you talk and you make an appointment with your doc saying, you know, I've got this common cold. Okay, come on in. I'll take your $150. Make sure you pay your $20 copay. But you know what? Common cold, here's Tylenol and water. But you knew that. But you're going to go in there and say, hey, doc, so I'm having this really difficult time at work because my boss really hates my guts and she feels that I'm being insensitive to the issues at hand. What would you do? Have you ever had a problem like that? Oh, well, my point is to say, look, doctors are great listeners because they're trained to see everything and hear everything and come up with solutions. They're the most empathetic people in society, if they have time for you. So use your GP as a way to share your thoughts. It's a great, cheap way, and I think you'll find a lot of benefit. And the final tip, if you can't speak to anybody at all, which would be so, so sad, is to start writing. Writing is the most freeing thing you can do while being purposeful in your thoughts. A lot of you say, well, we're not right. I'm not a writer. I haven't written since high school or college. But you'll surprise yourself. Anybody can write. Because if you can speak forever, you can write forever. You don't have to write eloquent prose. Goodness knows my prose is not so good. But the idea is to just get your thoughts out there. The more you get your thoughts out there, the better you will feel. There's like some kind of stereotype, I think, when you're growing up, when you're studying the great writers like Edgar Allan Poe, that writers are kind of crazy. And I can see that because we have all these thoughts jumbled up in our heads, and if we don't get them out, we might go a little cuckoo. It's like, let's say, you know the times where you have so many things to do, like 10 things on your to-do list, maybe it's 20. And each time you write it out on your list, you feel like a little weight is off your shoulders. You don't have to keep everything bottled up inside. You don't have to memorize everything. You just write it out. And each line item, you feel, ah, it's much better. You feel much better. And then each time you cross things out, you feel much better until hopefully that list gets whittled down to some of the 3 to 5 things you can really remember. You may or may not know, but financialsamurai.com was born out of fear. It was the fear that I was going to lose all my money because of the financial crisis. I lost 35 to 40% of my net worth in 6 months. That took 10 years to accumulate. I thought I was going to be fired. I thought I was going to go broke. And I thought I would never have anybody again to care for because I was broke. Who would want to be with me? These are the thoughts that guys think about all the time. We've got to make money to provide a family or else we're losers. We have to be someone by age 30. I was going through all these thoughts, especially when I was losing all this money. And I'm really thankful that there's great equality or better equality in society today between men and women, because that burden is kind of getting lifted. But writing is a great cathartic way to get your thoughts across and to not self-destruct if there's nobody to talk to. Because if you're going through some kind of deep depression or sadness, please, please reach out to somebody. Reach out to me if you need to and there's nobody else. Shoot me an email, whatever it is. Because life is worth living. And you will find an amazing feeling when you're allowed to express yourself. You will no longer feel insecure. You will no longer try to suppress another sex or another person. It's an amazing feeling. So let me ask you, readers, why aren't more men allowed to express themselves? Why does society trap men into thinking, doing, saying certain things? And why isn't society talking more about this issue? Is it because men are the oppressors? Are we really that bad? Do you believe that if more men were allowed to open up, that not only would men be happier, but women would feel happier as well? I would think this would be quite a logical case, because when you're around someone who's happy, I think you tend to be happier too. Please share your thoughts, and thanks so much.